Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction, along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Julie Decker. She's the chief curator at the Anchorage Museum, and they've just opened a new exhibit there to celebrate 100 years of aviation in Alaska, which means they were kind of 10 years behind the Wright brothers before an airplane got up there. And but of course, aviation has become a major force in Alaska since then. So I'm sure they have a lot of things to talk about in their exhibit. And Julie, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I guess to start out, can you just talk a little bit about this exhibit and how it got started and what aviation means up there in Alaska?
Sure. It's a project that was about 3 years in the making. And knowing that there was a 100th anniversary coming up of powered flight in Alaska, I approached Jeremy Kinney, who's a curator at the National Air and Space Museum, and talked to him about really the significance of the Alaska story in terms of a national picture. And we started with the question, is flying in Alaska really any different from anywhere else? And we decided that the story was distinct here, that it is a really tremendous dependency upon the airplane in Alaska to serve remote villages. And the story of the bush pilots here is deep and fascinating story of rugged individuals, rugged weather, rugged terrain, and really Alaska remains a place that's difficult to fly in because of the weather and difficult to access. We have very few roads throughout the state, so we are very dependent upon the airplane. And as we looked at 100 years, that story really hasn't changed, that we still have people that use the airplane as a connection to the outside world.
Now, of course, in 1913, airplanes were still pretty basic. So at what point did it really become a factor? When did, you know, aviation really start to make a change in what was happening up there?
Right. 1913 marks the first spectacle of flight, essentially. So James and Lily Martin shipped an airplane up by ocean and then by riverboat to Fairbanks, Alaska, and the interest then was to show the power of technology and the promise of the future, but flight was still a spectacle. It was not the idea that the airplane might actually be put into practical use really didn't take hold in Alaska until the late 1920s, and early pilots like Carl Ben Eielson and Noel Wien in Alaska took the idea of using the airplane to deliver mail in Alaska where dog sleds had been used before, to say that the airplane could be a workhorse, not just a novelty.
And what does the exhibit consist of? Do you have a lot of airplanes, or is it a lot of artifacts, or some of each?
Yeah, it's we have one airplane, and we have 7,500 square feet of exhibition space, but it's on the third floor, so it's really not about what it was like to fly in Alaska. It's really about how the airplane changed life on the ground. So we picked one iconic plane to signify that story and the airplane, and we chose a 1928 Stearman, which was flown by a number of legendary Alaska bush pilots, so it had a number of personal stories and connections to be made, but it also, very rugged construction, could land on with skis or floats or tundra tires, and kind of exemplified that Alaska spirit and what was needed to adapt to flying in Alaska. But the rest is artifacts, and we borrowed objects from museums throughout Alaska, but also Alaskan objects from the National Air and Space Museum, brought them all here for these 6 months to mark the anniversary. And it's everything from a shirt that was made from the Norgay dirigible that crashed in Teller, Alaska, while it's trying to make a polar flight, and the villagers who had never seen flight before, let alone a blimp, called it the Great Flying Seal. It was as it was landing into their village, and some of the native people took the silk fabric from the crash blimp and made lampshades and shirts and other practical items from them. And we just love that idea of the Alaska resourcefulness, that you make the most of what's there, no matter how unusual or impractical it may seem. We have objects from the crash of Wiley Post and Will Rogers, which is one of many well-known airplane tragedies that occurred here in the 1930s. We have photographs of Lindbergh coming through, of Howard Hughes making a flight when Alaska was really just a byway in the 1920s when they were testing man and machine. And then we have everything from World War II runway Marsden matting to a P-39 wing that was used for lend-lease when we were flying planes through Alaska to loan to Russia, and survival kits of bush pilots where they threw everything into the plane that they would need, not in flight, but in case something went wrong and they were stranded on the ground and needed to fix the airplane and survive in the cold and the wilderness. And then we look at the contemporary world and the industrialization of Alaska and how small bush pilots, the small bush pilot businesses grew up into being major empires and airlines such as Alaska Airlines today.
Okay, it sounds like you have a great variety of things there that I think any pilot or an aviation enthusiast who is traveling in Alaska would definitely want to stop in there and check out the exhibit. So how long is that going to run? And if people want more information, where could they find more info?
It runs through August 11th of 2013, so it's through our summer season. And they can visit our website at www.anchoragemuseum.org.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Bose, presenting their most advanced pilot headset ever, the Bose A20 Aviation Headset. It provides acclaimed noise reduction along with a comfortable fit, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.